Have you ever dealt with overwhelming grief before? Maybe you want to be proactive and perhaps learn some strategies on how to handle it before it arrives in your life, rather than if it hits you all of a sudden. Joining me today on Awareness, episode 13 here, is a friend of mine from high school days, actually, and his name is Corey Herskew. And Corey's dad actually passed away when Corey was really young, and he's here to share his story in hopes to help others. And I want to officially welcome him to Awareness, the podcast fostering a more compassionate, empathetic, and accepting society. Welcome, Corey.
Robbie, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for aging us both with that intro about high school. It's good to know that. I think I saw a gray form as you said that. yes, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, happy to have you. And you know, I can't think of a better time than now for you to be here and to open up about this to the world, since it is, after all, Men's Mental Health Month, which is observed in the month of June, and it is a time to raise awareness about the unique mental health challenges men face and to encourage them to prioritize their well-being. Now, it aims to dismantle stigma and foster open conversations about emotional health, recognizing that men may experience mental health issues differently than women and are often less likely to seek help. So, why don't we start off with what happened exactly with your dad, Corey? I mean, why did you lose your dad at such a young age, and how did it happen exactly? And how old were you?
I just turned 39. It was last year, about a year and a half ago. Okay. It's June 10th. On June 30th, it'll be a year and a half. Wow. My dad was healthy.
Yeah.
Overweight, but he was healthy for all intents and purposes. He had just gotten a clean bill of health, actually, which is why he and my mom decided, they're like, you know what? Our kids are grown up. There's nothing here for us the holidays. Let's do an extended trip to Mexico, as one would when their kids are grown up and they can. He had little issues here and there, but they were never like bad issues. You know what I mean? They booked a month in Mexico. They went about a week and a half in, he just wasn't feeling well. And my dad was never one to over-exaggerate things. He was never one to, he didn't want to monger emotion. He's fine. You know what I mean? Like the typical older Romanian Israeli, the typical older, they're fine. Leave me alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it progressively got worse. And he started to lose his ability to speak. And not like he couldn't, like he was just, he was having a hard time speaking. And finally, my birthday is December 21st. We spoke. Mm-hmm. He was like, happy birthday. And I'm like, Dad, you were partying too hard. Why can't you just say happy birthday to me? And we laughed. And on the Saturday, that was on a Thursday. On a Saturday morning, my mother was like, dude, enough is enough. Let's go see the doctor. It's not getting better. He had been sitting down for too long. When he got up, I guess there wasn't enough oxygen going through his lungs to his brain, and he fainted.
This happened in Mexico?
Yes. On a resort, literally, yeah. They're in their room. They're walking down the hallway, and he fainted. They couldn't get him. They couldn't get him resuscitated, so they called the ambulance. We were very fortunate that there was a private hospital walking distance from the hotel. They got in there. My mother called us. He was listed as critical. Who knows what that means in Mexico? You know what I mean? Critical care is not Canadian health system. So my sister and I flew down there. He spent a week struggling. And then literally on December 30th, the week that he fainted, as I was on my way to shul, I found a chabad in Puerto Vallarta to go in Devon. I got a call saying, you need to come. And we came, and within 20 minutes, he had passed away. He let go. And wow. That was Mexico.
That was in Mexico. Oh, my yeah. goodness, man.
So, I can yeah. think, so, sorry, I can, the hospital was very helpful in helping. It was a Saturday, it was Shabbat. Like, it's not the easiest to repatriate a body. We're very fortunate to have support of Melissa Lansman, who helped ensure that his body was able to be removed. But that's the story.
Wow. And what did they say it was, though, from fainting? What was the complication that turned out, led to his passing?
It turned out to be what's the word for it again when you have blockage in the lungs? Embolism? Yes.
Okay.
He had two embolisms. He had blockage, basically like a blood clot in yeah. both his lungs, and his lungs basically collapsed, which caused everything else to collapse.
Wow.
So his lungs went to his kidneys collapsed, his heart was already struggling, everything just literally, they gave him dialysis, or like, his body's collapsing. There's like, they said at one point, they're like, it's a 90% mortality. They're like, they're telling me right now, like, plan the next stages because we doubt that he's going to make it back. And that was that.
Wow. And taking him to the hospital there, was he like covered under some sort of insurance plan, or was this like a situation where you had to pay out of pocket?
That son of a bitch was smart. Right when he got the clean bill of health, he went to insurance, showed that clean bill of health, and they gave him a $5 million travel. So most of everything was covered.
Yeah.
The hospital charged us almost $300,000 American for a week.
Wow.
Insurance covered it, but imagine he didn't have that.
Yeah, imagine to not have that.
They were charging us $40,000 a day for a dialysis machine to help clean his blood.
Wow.
But yeah, we got.
I got to say, I'm sorry for your loss first and foremost, and like my condolences. I never got the opportunity to do that off the air with you and to, say that on the podcast. I just want to make sure that I share my deepest condolences with you. And
I'm actually proud of myself that I didn't break down as much as I thought I would.
Hey, this is an open forum and that no judgment free. So you're allowed to. And that just sort of shows, mental health for Men's Mental Health Month. At any point in time, you're more than welcome to shed, a few tears. And, it's we embrace people opening up. So thank you for doing so. And thank you for finding this platform to feel comfortable enough to do so. So walk me through what happened to you, though, like emotionally, mentally, and physically in this first year after he passed. How have you been coping?
It's learning to live with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Finding coping mechanisms that are healthy. So running has been, people have asked me how I got into running, and I run a lot now. I actually just ran the Toronto Marathon for the first time. Well, I did it half, but yeah. And throwing myself into fitness, really. Like, I've really found trying to do mind work and very healthy things for my mind.
Right.
Has been very, very, very helpful to me.
And fitness has a lot to do with that.
Fitness is like, I'm telling you, the runner's high has thankfully I discovered it, funny enough, because like it's the best high you could possibly have in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't resort to drugs. I didn't resort to destructive behavior. I threw myself literally into running and fitness. And
yeah.
It's been a game changer. It's been very, very, it's been helpful. It's been eye-opening. It's been inspiring to others. I have people now, whenever I post my runs, I have people messaging me being like, can I run with you? And so I schedule it when if I have a long run, that's my time. You know what I mean? I go. But when I have a shorter run, I meet up with a friend and like we talk. And it's like, it's become a very cathartic way to start the day.
You know, it's interesting. I was actually just chatting with my brother yesterday, and it seems like you and I are in very similar boats when it comes to mental health, that fitness, as long as you can move your body, it seems like it's non-negotiable for you. You have to incorporate it.
I have to break a sweat. I have to every day break a sweat in some way or another. So if like I wake up, because normally I like to wake up early.
Right.
If I like if I wake up and I'm just like, fuck this, I can't do it today. Mm-hmm. I'll go on a long walk until I sweat. I'll do sit-ups. I'll do push-ups.
Yeah.
Go to the gym for 20, something just to break a sweat. Yeah. That's kind of my non-negotiable in my mind, is that every day I need to break a sweat. It doesn't matter how I do it. I have to do it.
Yeah. And now, do you do this every day, or is there one day a week? Do you take an off day at all, or is it?
I take off days. Yes. Like weekends, I sweat from having three kids and having to Uber them around to all the programs.
Wow.
But like, I try to make a conscious effort to do as much as I can, because mentally, if I don't, I feel that anxiety. And I don't know if the anxiety is grief or just generalized anxiety.
Yeah.
But the way that it manifests in my mind is like, I start feeling not myself if I haven't done something.
Right.
So if I haven't run, if I haven't walked, if I haven't done push-ups and sit-ups, something, I start to feel like icky kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you find that it has gotten a little easier, the grief?
Yes.
After time makes it a little easier, or no, not yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, the fact that I can talk to you right now about this without being a basket case shows you that time has helped.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate to have a solid from family and friends who've been there for me. Mm-hmm. I try to make it a point most Fridays to go visit him and have a shot. I have a schnapps beside him.
Oh, so you go to the cemetery, you mean?
I try at least once a week. I try on Fridays for Shabbat to go and have a shot with him. Sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
But like most Fridays, I make it a thing to go up there and do a quick shot with him.
That's a good thing that you do for sure. What would you say, do you have any suggestions on how to check in with someone who is grieving through your own experience?
Yes. A lot of people didn't know how to check in with me.
Yeah.
And anything is better than nothing. So what I would send to people, if I know they're going through something, is just a quick text, thinking about you. I'm here. That's it.
Yeah.
If they don't want it, they don't respond. Nothing's personal.
Right.
And I found that I had friends once a week calling, every day calling, text. There was people in my life, in my orbit, who made sure that I knew that they cared. It didn't matter how often it was. They made sure that I knew that they cared. And so a lot of times what I do for other people too is I make a point. Something my father instilled in me is, if I care about somebody, make them aware that I care. And how do you make somebody aware that you care? You call them, you text them, you stay in touch. You make the effort regardless of if they show it back. I can only control me. And so there's people in my life who I make an effort regardless. And a lot of them do respond to it and reciprocate it. But I make a tangible effort to communicate some way, one way or another, regularly.
Right. Is there anything that you and your dad, you had some sort of a ritual you guys would do? I mean, obviously you seem really close with your dad, which is a great thing. And what brought that closeness together between the both of you?
Family importance was instilled all my life. Mm-hmm. My father worked very hard. He was a baker until he retired, and no matter how tired he was, he made time. It might not have been like activities and stuff, but he was there. You know what I mean? And he instilled also to communicate, to talk about things. If we need anything, come to him. And that's a lot of how I model myself as a father.
Yeah.
Like, I'm present. I'm there. I will never miss my kids' programs, stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you guys have like something that you guys, like for instance, like for my dad and I, we connect most on the Blue Jays. We love baseball. He introduced me to that as a young age. We try to go watch baseball together, typically Blue Jays games, whether it's, you know, just at home, at his home, or yeah, going to a ball game. What did you guys connect over most?
Watching sports,
yeah,
boxing, soccer, any pay-per-view, wrestling, action movies. He loved action movies. Yeah. We really tried, like, if a new movie, he didn't like going out. So, like, if there was a new action movie that hit Netflix, we tried on a Saturday night, I'd go by and hang out and watch the movie with him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very, very simple person. That's good. He didn't need a lot.
What do you think in terms of grief and trying to raise more awareness to that? What do you think you should not do when someone is grieving? Did you go through something where you're like, man, I did not want to read that text right now, or I did not need that phone call right about now? What should you not do when someone is grieving?
Take their lack of communication personally. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Read the room. Boundaries are very important. Again, I think it all comes down to communication. You're allowed to reach out and let them know that you're there, but you're not allowed to make them feel guilty for not being responsive. Some people just, everybody processes things differently, and you can't force people to process a certain way.
Right.
So thankfully, I didn't experience that, anybody like that. But I'd say that grieving is subjective, and you can't force somebody to grieve faster or differently than how you want them to grieve. So I think it's a process, and respecting that process.
Right. Why don't we just, you know, put his name on this podcast. What's his full name? Your dad's full name?
His birth name was Shia, S-A-I-A, Shia.
Yeah. Yeah.
His English, like Canadian, name was Sheldon.
Sheldon. Okay. So let's pretend now you're at his grave site, or you're on your weekly visit. What do you want to tell him here today?
What I tell him always, I love him and I miss him. Mm-hmm. And keep watching over and keep taking care of us. That's it.
It's a good message for sure. Corey Herskew, you're very brave, and I encourage you to keep on sharing his story, keep his memory alive, and thank you so much for doing this today and sharing your time.
It was my pleasure, and if anybody else is grieving and needs somebody to talk to, please reach out. I just had a friend whose father also passed away, and we've been leaning on each other, and that support is a very niche support system when you've lost a parent young. And people want to be there for you, but not everybody understands it. So if there are people you find who do and want to, embrace it.
How can people get a hold of you, like online, if they want to reach out to you?
They can DM me on Instagram at Herskew, my last name. Twitter is my full name. Or they can reach out to you directly and put them in touch with me. I'm happy to talk, be there for anybody else. I want to consistently pay it forward.
Are you willing to give out your email too? Is that okay?
Yeah. My first name, Corey, Corey, at Herskew, Herscu.ca. Anybody can email me directly.
Amazing. Thank you so much for doing this again. And of course, for Men's Mental Health Month, it is very fitting. And thank you for sharing how you manage grief. I'm sure you've helped several people, whoever watches or listens to this podcast. I'm sure they really appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing this again, Corey.
It's my pleasure, and sending love out there.
This has been episode number 13 of Awareness, the podcast, fostering a more compassionate, empathetic, and accepting society. I'm Rob Daniels, your host. Thank you once again for being here. And don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you in the next episode.